All right, so today we are going to be continuing on in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians. And as I said last week, we're going to be camping out for a couple of weeks in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And so if you weren't able to watch last week's lesson, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that. But today we're going to be picking up where we left off. And we're actually going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And so what I want to do is I just want to read the passage, and then we'll talk about it, okay? So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth." All right, so there in verses 2 and 3, Paul is actually quoting one of the Ten Commandments. And it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And this is what the commandment says. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." So that's actually the fifth command in the Ten Commandments. And it's what's known as a transitional command. The first four commands of the Ten Commandments primarily have to do with our relationship with God, or that vertical relationship. However, the last six commands of the Ten Commandments primarily deal with how we relate to and love others, or that horizontal relationship. Now, if you think about it, this is how Paul has essentially laid out the book of Ephesians as well. As we've been talking about, the first half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians deals primarily with our relationship with God in light of what Jesus has done for us. And the second half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians is then how we are to live, or how we're to deal with and relate to others in light of what Jesus has done for us. So in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is confronted about the greatest commandment of God. He's asked, "What is the greatest command of God?" And he summarizes the entire law, all of the commands of God, by saying that the greatest command is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And then he adds on to that, and he said, and the second one is just like it. In other words, they can't be separated from one another, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the greatest command, according to Jesus, summarizing all of God's commands, is that we are to love the Lord our God with all that we are. And that is reflected in how we love those around us, how we love others. So I think what Paul is getting at by first talking about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, and then now in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about the parent-child relationship, is this: loving others as Jesus has commanded us to starts in the home. I want to say that again. Loving others the way Jesus commanded us to love others starts in the home. In other words, the foundation of how we are to relate to others begins with our relationships at home, specifically with our parents. As we briefly talked about last week, all of the relationships that you have are influenced one way or another by the relationship that you have with your parents. So if you are healthy in this regard, you can be healthy elsewhere. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So you're saying, well, he says it's a new commandment, but it sounds just like him saying what the greatest command of God is. But he's kind of giving teeth to that commandment in that he's saying that we're to love one another just as he has loved us, that he is the example of how we are to love one another. And all people will know that we belong to him by this love that we have for one another. Now, when I read that command, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to immediately think of everyone outside of my home. So you may be thinking about people at work, or people at your school, or people in your neighborhood, or anywhere else, really. But what we're reminded of here in Ephesians is that our call to love others like Jesus has loved us actually needs to start in the home. And here's the thing. Our parents should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to and follow Jesus by the way that we love them. I hope you don't miss that, okay? Our parents should know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we belong to and follow Jesus by the way that we love them. Because loving others has to start in the home. It's how God designed it. So with that being said, what does it look like to love our parents in this way? Well, Paul says it right there. He says, we are to love our parents by honoring them. We're to love our parents by honoring them. Now, I don't know if you paid any attention to the news when Queen Elizabeth II died just a couple of years ago, but when her death was announced, thousands upon thousands of people gathered outside of Buckingham Palace to pay their respects. Several days later, it was estimated that 1 million mourners occupied 1 square mile of central London just to pay their respects as her coffin passed by in the hearse, right? And then around 250,000 people visited Westminster Abbey to view her coffin as it lay in state. And the wait times reached up to 24 hours, which is crazy, right? So the reason I share that is as I watched all of that coverage, I remember thinking how rare it is to see such a display of honor in today's culture. I mean, you could feel the weight of that moment because of the weight or the significance of the person, the queen, right? Now, that word honor in the original Hebrew, as we read it there in in Exodus chapter 20, in the original Hebrew, it literally translates into the word heavy or weighty. So the idea of honoring someone is that they are someone who carries weight in your life, that we are to treat someone who carries weight in our life as if they matter. Now, the opposite of honor in this case would be to marginalize or trivialize someone, to treat them as if they're nothing or that they don't matter. They're of little consequence or they're a nuisance, right? Now, for the most part, honor has become a relic, right? And unfortunately, we live in a culture that is largely devoid of honor. Think about it. Is it more common to hear people in our culture honor or dishonor their boss? Is it more common in our culture to hear people give honor to or dishonor our government officials? Is it more common in our culture to hear people honor or dishonor law enforcement? Is it more common in our culture to hear people honor or dishonor teachers? Right, I can pull up YouTube videos right now showing students physically and verbally attacking their teachers, right? My daughter comes home all the time and she says that the way that some students treat their teachers is awful, right? So let me ask this, is it more common these days to see children honoring or dishonoring their parents? I remember several years ago coming out of Belk's, the store Belk's, and in the parking lot, there was this teenage girl and her mom standing at the trunk of the car. And this teenager is just berating and cussing her mom out. I'm talking full on. She needed a censor cussing her mom out. It was one of those things that was so shameful that I had to debate whether or not I should insert myself in that conversation. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I sat back thinking, do I need to get involved in this? Do I need to talk to that girl? Like, so it was that shameful, right? So we live in a culture right now where it's common for us to see children dishonoring their parents. So if we're to honor our mothers and our fathers, what does it look like for us to honor our parents? Well, one of the things that Paul mentions here in Ephesians chapter 6 is that children should obey their parents because they belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. However, honoring one's parents isn't just about the act of obedience, okay? Or just doing what you're told. It has more to do with one's attitude of respect toward their parents, right? You can do what you're told and still disrespect your parents. I've seen that before, right? So it's not just about the act of obedience. It's about the attitude of your heart. So with that being said, who is this passage addressing when it talks about obedience? Well, I would say this. If you still live under your parents' roof and they provide for you a place to live and food for you to eat and they pay your bills, you live under the shelter of their authority. It doesn't matter if you're 30 years old. This passage of scripture is addressing you. So if you belong to God, And if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you are commanded by God to honor your parents with your obedience. Why? Well, because of this. Because our obedience to the authority God has placed in our life pleases the Lord. I want to say that again. Our obedience to the authority that God has placed in our life pleases the Lord. Now, I realize that there are many kids who think that when it comes to the rules and boundaries that their parents set, that their parents are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, I talked to the students in our house church last week, and they basically said there are times when they believe that their parents' rules or the boundaries they set are unreasonable, right? So I just want to say this, and I'm going to say it tongue-in-cheek, but I really don't mean it because it's serious, right? There was a time in my life when I thought I knew everything also, right? But the truth is, as I look back on my childhood, I did some unbelievably stupid things. And frankly, I'm lucky just to be alive and not in jail. There are things that I thought were completely reasonable and acceptable as a teenager that as I look back were so dumb, so dumb. For example, I remember at 16 years old, and this is so dumb. I hate even sharing this, right? When I was 16 years old, I remember driving down the highway in my truck, the truck that my dad bought me. He was paying for it. Driving down the highway in my truck with a friend sitting next to me in the passenger seat. I remember telling my friend to take the wheel as we drove down the highway, going probably 60 miles an hour, while I climbed out the window of the driver's side of my truck, got into the bed of the truck, and then climbed into the passenger window of the truck to sit next to him as he drove, right? So we kind of switched places, going 60 miles an hour down the road. Just stupid, stupid stuff, right? That when I look back, I'm like, man, how did I even survive my adolescence, right? Mark Twain says this, the writer Mark Twain, I love what he says. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant. I could hardly stand to have the old man around, but when I got to be 21, I was so astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. J.M. Barrie, who was the author of Peter Pan, he says, I am not young enough to know everything. So as I look back on my childhood, like many of you, I thought I knew everything. But the reality is that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was, right? My parents put boundaries and rules in place to safeguard me, to help me to grow, to be all that I was supposed to be. Every once in a while, I shared this with our young people last week. You know, our parents can be moody, or we can be moody as parents, those of us who have kids, right? And there are times when our rules are just, hey, I want you to be quiet just because I don't want to hear you talk anymore or whatever, right? But for the most part, our rules, our boundaries meant to safeguard our children, to help them to grow in knowledge and wisdom, to grow to make good choices and to be good human beings, right? And so the rules aren't arbitrary, right? They're not unreasonable because there is a goal in mind. Scripture also teaches that those who obey their parents gain wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 says this, a wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker, and I've seen plenty of those, refuses to listen to correction. So God's design is for children to learn to honor and obey their parents as they grow up so that they can live wisely, so that they can live as God intends them to live. As they learn love and respect at home, okay, because Paul's primarily writing to Christians here, as they learn love and respect at home from their parents, they will love and respect others appropriately when they leave home. Okay, and again, as we've been saying for the past few weeks, when it comes to healthy and godly relationships, the goal here is to imitate Jesus. So obedience and honor are acts of love and service, which Jesus not only commanded of us, but he modeled for us. Okay, and then we have to understand this as well. We never mature beyond this command. You never mature beyond this command. In other words, this command still applies to you, even though the implications of it may change. You may not necessarily live under your parents' direct authority anymore, but you're still commanded to honor them. As we said a moment ago, the idea of honoring someone is that they carry weight in your life, and you are to treat that person as if they matter, right? as if they have significance in your life. And again, the opposite of honor would be to marginalize or trivialize them, to treat them as if they are nothing and they don't matter. And so what God is calling us to do in our relationship with our parents, specifically as adult children of parents who are still living, right, is to not marginalize them or trivialize them, to not treat them as if they don't matter, but to instead value them and treat them as if they have significance. Now, this is how we're supposed to treat everyone, right? We're supposed to consider others as more important than ourselves or more significant than ourselves. So who better to do this for than our parents, right? So as followers of Jesus, listen to me. Your parents should matter to you simply because they matter to God. I want to say that again. Your parents should matter to you simply because they matter to God. God loves them, right? This means as we get older, we honor our parents by displaying our love for Jesus to them. It means that while you recognize that they didn't always get it right, and they didn't, right? There is grace and forgiveness to them, right? In many cases, this is where some of you need to start. And I think we're going to cover that a little bit next week with this whole idea of forgiving those who have hurt us, right? But I think that it's displaying the love of Jesus to our parents. It's not just submitting to their authority because we don't live under their authority anymore, but it's treating them as if they're significant by loving them as Christ has loved us. It's imitating Jesus in that relationship. It means taking the initiative to improve your relationship with them, to take the time to include them in your life, to call them, to go and visit them, to go out of your way to show them that they matter. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this. It says that we are to outdo one another in showing honor. We're to show honor as if it were an honor contest and we're trying to win, to go above and beyond to show that they matter. Why? Because they matter to God. And there comes a time in our lives when the roles reverse and we're called upon to actually care for our parents. I share this story quite a bit, but when we lived in Virginia, my mom came to visit us for a week and we had flown her up and she got up and we had a dog named Bailey at the time. And Bailey was whining to go out and my mom was like, Bailey needs to go out. I'll take her out. And I kept saying, no, Mom, you don't need to take her out. I'll get her in just a minute. But my mom took Bailey outside. And the reason I didn't want my mom to take her out is because we have one of those retractable leashes. And so Bailey, we lived out in the country. And so anytime Bailey heard some kind of animal, a rabbit, a deer, or whatever, she would literally like go running on that retractable leash. And so my mom, sure enough, took her out on the back porch. And Bailey heard something or saw something and then sprinted after it and extended that leash, and it pulled my mom down the steps there. And my mom broke her ankle, and she actually had to have surgery and pins and everything put in her ankle. But I remember having to take my mom to the doctor, and they did x-rays and everything, and then getting my mom back to my house after going to the hospital. And because my mom couldn't walk on crutches up some steps, I remember having to pick my mom up and carry her in the house like a child, right? Which is crazy to me. I think there's a book called I Love You Forever or something like that, where at the beginning the mom's holding the baby and at the end the child is holding the mom. That was the picture of me and my mom, right? And so there comes a time in our lives when the roles reverse, right? That our parents are no longer caring for us, but we're called upon to actually care for our parents. This is how we show honor to them. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, Jesus actually rebukes the Pharisees for sidestepping God's law by refusing to care for their parents. And then I was also thinking about this. I was thinking, how do we honor our parents when our parents have passed away? Because some of you have parents who have passed away. So how do you honor your parents after they've passed on? And it came to me as I was praying this week that the best way that we can honor our parents' memory is to follow hard after Jesus and to be everything that he's calling us to be. We honor our parents' memory by loving others, by our kindness and compassion, by our generosity. We honor them by loving our families well, by loving our spouses well and our children well in a way that honors God. So I believe that so much of dealing with parents comes down to pride. We have seen the worst side of them. We have as children. We've seen the worst side of our parents. Our children have seen the worst side of us, right? And we have seen them, our parents sin towards others, and we've seen our parents sin towards us because no parent is perfect, right? And yes, there are cases when reconciliation is extremely challenging, but so far as it depends on us, we must fight to honor God in this area, to obey His command, to honor our parents. Scripture is very clear that the way we treat our parents has significant ramifications, not only for our physical life, but for our spiritual one as well. And so I want to close with this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and again in Ephesians chapter 6, God tells His people that they are to honor their fathers and their mothers, that their days may be long and it may go well with them. So God is reminding us that healthy families are the fabric of healthy communities. And if you can unravel families, you can unravel a society. And I truly believe that this is why the enemy works overtime to destroy families, to destroy marriages, to destroy a parent's relationship with their child. And he does so by trying to get us to put love of self ahead of love for God and love for others. His goal is that families would reflect more of the world than the kingdom of God. He doesn't want godly parents raising godly children. Instead, he seeks to divide families and to cut the fruit off from the vine. And so if loving others the way Jesus loved us, that picture of the gospel starts in the home, then that's where the enemy seeks to destroy. And so again, I believe the enemy is at work trying to destroy families. Godly, Christ-honoring families are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. So if we want to win this battle as husbands, as fathers, as mothers, as wives, right, then we need to start waging war accordingly, which we're actually going to get more into as we close out Ephesians chapter 6 in a few weeks. But suffice to say, we need to stand firm in our faith and move forward in obedience to the Lord, to love Him as He commands us to do, and to love others as He commands us to do. And again, it all starts in the home. It all starts with family. We honor our parents because we want to honor the Lord and please Him. We honor our parents because we want to walk in obedience to His commands, because He knows what's best for us. Honoring our parents has everything to do with Jesus, because we know that God loves us and sent His Son to die for our sins, and we can trust where He's leading us. Jesus has promised us that when we follow Him, we will have life and have it to the full, which is what Paul is reminding us here in Ephesians chapter 6. Many years ago, I was leading a staff meeting for a church I was pastoring. And in the middle, it was actually a retreat. In the middle of this meeting at this retreat, I asked my staff this question. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are you leading in your home? And as they thought about it, most of them seemed to be pretty honest and humble in their answers. And most of them, the average answer was between 5 and a 6. Most of them answered between a 5 and a 6. Then I asked them, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well are you leading in the church? And here they were a little more generous with themselves. Mostly they answered between a 7 and an 8, to which I said, how well you lead in your home is a reflection of how well you lead in the church. Because if you can't lead well in the home, you can't expect to lead well in the church. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is this. If loving others truly begins in the home, then the truest measure of your progress of faith, the truest measure of how you're growing in your relationship with the Lord, is how well you relate to your spouse, and how well you relate to your children, and how well you relate to your parents. So I want to close with this question, okay? If you based your spiritual progress, your growth, solely on how well you lived it out at home, how do you think you're doing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, we thank you for your incredible, immeasurable love for us, Lord. God, that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. God, thank you for salvation. God, we thank you for love. And we thank you, God, that through Jesus, you showed us what love really is, Lord, that it's sacrificial, that it's not self-seeking, but it's selfless, Lord. And so would you teach us to love like Jesus loves, God, and may it begin in our homes with how we love our spouses. God, teach us to love our spouses well. God, teach us to love our children well. And for those of us, God, with parents who are still living, teach us how to love our parents well, to honor them the way that you call us to honor them, Lord. God, we thank you for the example of godly parents in our life, Lord, those who have loved us and cared for us and nurtured our faith, God. Some of us watching right now, God, have had parents who were not godly examples to us, God, but we thank you, Father, that you have delivered us, God, in spite of our circumstances, God, so that now we can go and show the love of Jesus to our parents. And so I pray that that happens, Lord. God, that we would seek to love our mothers and our fathers and honor them, Father, the way that Jesus loved us. And that as we honor our parents, God, that we would honor you because you are worthy. So God, I just pray right now, God, that you would help us to take an honest evaluation of how we love those who are closest to us in our family, Lord. And teach us, Father, to love those closest to us as Christ loved us, Lord, and gave himself up for us, Lord. So we thank you for your love, God. Continue to teach us what it looks like for us to live it out in obedience, God. And I pray, Father, that again, we would honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.